Okay. I would like today to say over the famous story that Rav Nachman Breslov said, the Chacham Letam. And the reason I want to say it over, in the Kitta Luchas speaks about this story, and he says it's a very appropriate to study the story on the Sfira. I'll explain soon why, but before I begin, I want to say a famous author, the Bnei Yisachar, he was called, and he says in a very, very profound thing in the Torah. He says, like, we had like Boimah Sunday. And like Boimah was the great day of celebration of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. So he explains that the Sfira days is divided in 32. Then there's from the 33rd to Shavuos is another 17 days. 32 and 17 is 49. So it was that together it makes it 49 days. Now he says an incredible, profound thing that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had five great disciples. And he asked each one of them to go find what is the right road in life. What is to focus on one good thing in life? If you want to be a good person, what? So he says, one says, an ayin toiv, a good eye. You know what a good eye means? That I'm very happy that you're successful. I'm very happy things are working well for you. Often people are, you know, yeah, I'm happy, but it should have been me. I should have had that success. You're not the happiest. Ayin toiv means you're very happy of the other person's success. And the Mishnah goes through, one of them says, shochen toiv, everything with toiv, a good neighbor. One of them says, chover toiv, a good friend. Finally, the loser, Ben Aruch, says, lev toiv, a good heart. And the Mishnah says, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, his words, lev toiv, include what everyone else said. A good heart is a very... What does a good heart mean? A good heart is not an angry heart, not a controlling heart. A good heart means, I wish you honestly the best. I'm happy for you to be the best. You know, and whatever you wish for yourself, I wish for the person. A good heart. A good heart includes everything. So let me explain to you what the Bnei Yisachar says. That if you look in the Torah, beginning of the Torah, the 32nd word in the Torah is the word toiv. The yar alekim es or ki toiv. Hashem saw the light. Ki toiv, that it was good. The 32nd word in the Torah is toiv. That means it's 32 together with toiv. Toiv is 17, makes it 49. So he says the 17 days from Lag BaOmer till Shavuos, the next 17, is toiv, represents the goodness. There's a time to elevate yourself and take Kiddush into yourself and to make your heart a good heart. See, we're preparing for the light of the Torah. See, in life, you know, the less, I know the right word in English to say, but the less a person understands life, the more it thinks the success in life is money. If I only would have the great job of the lottery, then everything will be good. Then we do realize that the wealthy people have their wealth. I always tell this to people in my shoe. Wealthy people have wealthy tzoras, and poor people have poor tzoras. They also have the headaches and the problems and the aggravation. This life, there's no way to get away from it. It is what helps a person. The greatest thing in life is a lev tov, a great heart. So that's what the Bnei Sos explains. Where is the tov? Yaro lekimus or ki tov? Where did he put that light? He put it into the Torah. The great light is hidden in the Torah. From the Torah, you could take the light into yourself the next 17 days. If you know that Yosef at Tzadik is called Toiv, because he was 17 years, Yosef was 17 years, that when he was, Torah makes a big thing, that when he not as very British, he was 17 years. So the Medrash says Yosef is called Toiv. When the whole story's episode with his brothers started. And the Medrash says 17 is Gematria Toiv. He was in when he was 17, he went through which no one should ever go through. And he was able to be what gave him the power? The Inyan of Toiv. The goodness gives a person the power. So I want to really focus on this story of Reb Nosson, of Reb Nachman, which Reb Nosson says we should really learn now. Because I want to explain something to all of you. That life is very interesting. We all know that by now. And life is very challenging. And life has its ups and its downs. So the famous story where Reb Nachman says about Chochom Etam is, there, it gives a story, it's, you know, it's a parable. I mean, it begins the story, there were two people who were growing up in a town. They were best friends. One was a brilliant man, just super brilliant. The other one was a slow, not sophisticated person. And in Yiddish, there's a very powerful saying. It doesn't come out in English, so well, I'm going to say it in English. We say it, he's not a very smart person, but not a small fool. I mean, he's quite foolish. And as the story goes on, people used to take advantage of him, like unfortunately people do when someone's not so smart. So this was the Chochom Etam, and the fathers both told him, we cannot support you, we lost all our panosa. And the two of them started the journey of life. So the Chochom, you know, Reb Nachman begins with the Chochom, as I'll also begin the story. The Chochom, and I'm not going to say accurately everything, because I want to focus more of the idea what the Nachman says in the story. The Chacham, he says, you know, after good panasa, I'm going to go see the world. You know, I don't know if it still goes on, but I remember in the 70s, after he left high school for 1 year, he went touring the world. Go to France, to India, to Pakistan, get lost in the world and backpacking and from where you... So Lahavdil, this guy, decided, look, I have to go, why should I... Let me travel the world. So he saw a bunch of people traveling in those days to Varsha, was the main city, to be, as we call, a schlepper, to help them load. And he was hired. And once he gets to Varsha, he doesn't like it. He gets himself hired to another place. He doesn't like it. Neither. Finally gets, we don't see it nowadays, when I was young, certain stores demanded you had to wear your uniform. Remember the good old days and when the Macy's and many of these department, the people going out to wear, he liked this, and he says, I want to work for you guys. Yeah, you want to work? You want to work with such a clothing? You have to start at the bottom of the rung. You got to be what you call a schlepper. And of course, and he was schlepping and working. Finally, he says, this is not good. He starts another thing, and decides, he finds out there's a guy going to Italy. I'll join traders going to Italy, and he went to Spain, and he for a few years, he was traveling the world. Now he traveling, though, he became a very smart person. He understood the Italians, he understood the Spanish, he became educated, you know, traveling the world, got his knowledge. Finally, things, you know, it's about time I should get married. No, isn't it about time I should get married? So, but he says, but I need to have a profession. So the first thing he says, he'll become a goldsmith, to the one who creates jewelry. Creative jewelry. Being so brilliant, he learned the job better than the one who taught him. He was so good at it. But then he thought to himself, If being a jeweler, wait a minute, jewelry, what happens if, you know, they don't need such a jewelry? So he decided to be a stone cutter. Like I say nowadays, in modern times, he became first an accountant, then he says, you know, maybe accountants are going to, I'll become a lawyer. You know, so he became, and he learned his profession, he was an expert at it. He was great. Then he sat down and thought to himself, you know, what in a recession, who suffers the most at first? Is luxury items. You don't need, no one buys gold, and no one buys comb studding. What do people really need all the time? Is a doctor. You know, no recession, yes recession. You're sick, you need a doctor. Decided he'll become a doctor. And being such a bright person, in a short time, he became a doctor. Now that he became a doctor, and he was a lawyer and an accountant, now the whole world was nothing. Me? You know who I am? Do you know who I am? Don't even ask. You know who I am. You know, that's an attitude that he walked around with, this arrogance. So, I'm going to continue, Rav Nachman, the story about the Chacham. You know what? Let's just go back to the Tam, and I'll come back. The Tam was a very simple person. He realized he's got to make a living. The first thing he did is he got married and taught himself how to be a shoemaker. Now, I want to explain to you in the times of Rav Nachman, the story was said, a shoemaker was one level above a schlepper. You know what a schlepper means? Schlepper is the one, in Yiddish, a schlepper means a porter. Everyone could be a porter. All you need is a good back. You don't really have to be smart, you don't have any intelligence. That's why, I don't know if you ever learned Yiddish, you speak Yiddish, hear him, they say he's a schlepper. Schlepper is in a saying to the thing, no education, anyone can do this. He was one step above it, he was a shoemaker. But being that he was a very big tam, very not smart, his shoes that he made all the time, instead of having a front and a back, was a triangle. And how much did his shoes sell? His neighbor, a shoemaker, was selling it for 100 shkolim, whatever the car. He was half price. But he had to work double. And he worked all the time he was working. He would, the second he wake up and he was working hard, and while he was eating, he was working. He had no time to take a break. He literally had to work unbelievably hard. And the whole time he was working. And being so poor, all he was able to do, what was he finally able to do, this poor person? Sell the shoes half the price. So he had bread and water, that's all he had. So he comes home, he was but an incredible happy person. He walked around. And he comes home, and his wife gives him a slice of bread. Yeah, at this part. Yeah. So I explain. The reason I want to explain is Rav Nachman says it's very important to hear the story. So what happened? He cut himself a slice of bread, and then he would tell, "Wow, the bread is great." Then he would see he needed fish again to give him another slice of bread. He says, "What great fish is in here?" He needed meat, it's not a slice of bread. This is the best roast that anyone had ever made. Sounds very silly, but that's how we live. The same thing with water. You know, he acted like the water would be his beer, his wine, and clothing. He acted like everything was just great. Super great. That's how he walked and lived his life. And when he came home one time, he tells his wife, "Look at my shoe. Look at the shoe that I made." And he kisses the shoe. "Ah, what great shoe. Listen, well, you know what's going to happen," he tells his wife. "We're going to sell the shoe. We'll have bread and water." His wife turns to him. "If it's such a great shoe, how come your competition gets $100 for the shoe and you can't even get $50 for the shoe?" He looks at her, says, "That's them, that's me. And the shoe is great." And he goes on praising his shoe. "Such a great shoe. You know that the leather cost me so much, and the glue cost me so much, and I'm going to make money, and I'll have it. It's great, going to be a great day." And this is how we lived. And when people used to tease him, he was very simple. People used to tease him, he would say to them, "You know, what are you teasing me? I'm very not smart. If you can out tease me, what are you going to say? I'll tease the fool. And if I answer you back, what are you going to say? Fool, out with it, you. Oh, what are you teasing me?" this is how he lived. Now, the Chacham was just the opposite. The Chacham came home, he decided he's now a lawyer, an accountant, and a doctor. And now he's got to open, he can't open an office, people don't know it. He's coming back to his hometown, and people are going to say, look what this, you know what, we came from him, this doctor, lawyer, and he opened a big business. But I'll say the story Rav Nachman says he became a jeweler. This is so important what I'm going to say now. He became a jeweler, and a guy commissioned him to do a piece of jewelry for $1,000. And he wants to buy his wife a gift. He made his earrings for $1,000. And the guy comes in and says, this is what you made for $1,000? This is what you made? And you know, he sold it to him. He was walking around weeks, furious. This fool, if he would have been in Spain, I could have gotten 5 times the amount of money. And this is how he looks at it. Do you know what a great craftsman I am? He was just full of emotional pain. Next time, someone comes in and brings a stone, and he tells me, do me a favor, copy exactly the statue with this stone and to this stone. And he works very, very hard. He makes a minute mistake that no one could tell. The guy comes in, wants to look. Wow, unbelievable, you copied it. That's great. But he wasn't happy. He talked, I could make such a mistake? Me? I'm such a great craftsman, made such a mistake? No, he criticized himself. Again, he walked around enormous emotional pain. Well, then he was a doctor. So one time, a guy comes in, and he was very, very, very sick when he brought it to him. Very sick. What happened to him, in the end, he died. You know what the townspeople said? The doctor's fault. He killed him. His big balloon just busted. I killed him? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? The guy was so sick. He was beside himself. And the next time, he did have someone extremely sick. He decided he's not budging from the bed. He nursed them literally back to health. You want to hear now what the people in the city says. You know what the people said in the city? You know, if you would have been in bed 7 days without the doctor, you know, they say it's either 7 days with antibiotic or a week with antibiotic. People are saying, you know, he would have been the doctor. This blew his ego. So, this is the Chacham. The story goes much further, but I want to explain to you what Rav Nachman says in this story. It's so important. If you take the Tam, look at the Tam, he had no choice but to be happy. Do you know why? Let's look at the Tam, and he should look at his life with a healthy eyes. He should commit suicide. First of all, he's born a Tam, a fool, and he knows that. He's not just walking around thinking that I'm the smartest guy. He knows that people treat, and he says, look, I was born this way. I'm a fool. I can't even make ends meet. I work from morning to night. From the second I wake up, I don't take a lunch break. As I'm working, I take a bite into the bread. And what do I earn already? Bread and water. The heck with everything. He should have committed suicide. If he would have just let them be default, look at life the way it is, life was unbearable. See, we don't appreciate this. Poverty meant in those days, poverty meant bread and water. You know, today the homeless have more bread and water. They take out of the garbage. The first time I came to L.A., I didn't see homeless in New York, but a guy used to hang out in the curl of homeless. Asked them, what do you eat? Says the rabbi, what do you mean, what do I eat? I'll bring you tomorrow. He brought me potatoes and tomatoes. We know exactly what time Ralph throws the garbage out, and we go there and we take it. Those days, you were able to take meat. I didn't know that. You know that Ralph would throw out. Then there's a new law because the homeless got sick, so they're not allowed to throw out the meat and fish into the garbage because they have to pay extra money to seal it because the homeless would get sick by eating the meat. They could get sued. You know, this is America. They could get the home. The house could get sued. But the point of the whole story is that Today, homeless have an enormous amount of what to eat. That's not their problem. They don't die from hunger. You don't see them dying from hunger on the streets. But those days, he had nothing. And his shoe came out with, imagine, he's making a shoe and it's a triangle. So if you would have looked at life the way it is, he should have been committing suicide. You know why he was happy? Because he literally had no choice. See, the Chacham, he was very successful, so he had the time to kvetch and criticize. And his life was everything in the outside. You know, what people said, all people lived their whole life. What people say about them, what they don't say about them, how good they are, how not good they are. Was busy. Was I successful with the stone cutting? I wasn't successful. He had emotional turmoil daily. The story is a very long story. Maybe another time, the second part of the story, how this Chochem, I'll say a little bit of the story, the end fell into the depths, into Shol Tachtus, as we say, and the poor person became a prime minister. That's the long story. Because when a person focuses on being happy, you will be successful. But you have to tell yourself, you have no choice but to be happy. See, the Chochem was a brilliant person. I always joke with people. I don't want to offend anyone over here, but I always joke with people. Today, we have the luxury to kvetch and to be depressed. And I need a therapist to help me be depressed or clean out my depression. You know, the times when there's no food to eat, when the people have to run, and there's no time to be depressed. It's a luxury. I once told someone, you know, you have a luxury. You can sit and take care of your feelings, and I am down, and I need to talk to someone. That if you are running for bread to earn your living, and there's nothing, there's no time. Time, that luxury doesn't exist. See, the Chacham, because he was this brilliant man, so he's so busy how people look at him. If he's a good doctor, a bad doctor, how people like him. And so you cannot live a life for others. If your life is built what others say about you, your life is going to be one misery. And I want to tell you a big secret to everyone. No one cares about you. Let me tell you something. That's a painful thing to hear. It's a very painful to hear. When you come in, people just care if you're going to smile at me or not. 90% of everyone's mind is, if they're thinking about others, it's not, oh, I love you, you're the sweetest guy. Did he smile to me? Did he ignore me today? Did he say, nice shalom aleichem? People really don't care so much about you. I mean, they care. It's your friend, your wife. There's an amount of caring. But we think that when, you know, the guy, the doctor thought, wow, the doctor was mine, that he's a great doctor. So now he has more respect, less respect. People don't care. You know, people talk. Yeah, talk is cheaper. Same guy who made fun of him as a doctor comes into shul, you smile at him. How are you doing, doctor? A minute ago, he was poking fun of him. I see this all the time. A minute ago, he was, this guy's a doctor. He's a shoemaker. You ever heard the guy comes in, how are you doing, shalom aleichem? Like the best friends. If no one cares. People just talk. But when a person lives in the fantasy that people think about them, life is one misery. What you have to live is to feel accomplished. This time, what did he say? He took a shoe and he tells his wife, look at this shoe. Now, who are you kidding? You think he was so stupid he didn't realize his shoe is a triangle? Imagine he couldn't make a shoe. It was a triangle shoe. He knew, but he celebrated whatever he can do. This is who I am. I am foolish. I'm we call in Yiddish a batlan. I don't know how to make a shoe. And I'll celebrate it. That's a life. That's incredible happiness, true happiness. Wasn't busy. People are going to say about him on the streets. Are they going to think about him as a nice guy? Does he live in a nice fancy home? Does he drive the right car? Because I want to tell you something. No one cares what car you drive. I want to tell you something very important. I know in our minds it does. No one cares if you drive what car, what tie you're wearing, if it matches, it doesn't match. All our people want, when you walk into the room, are you going to smile at me or not? Yes.
Can I suggest that they say all these rules are from expectations that were not fulfilled? And I think the key word in between the fool and the smart man, the expectation, the high expectation of the smart man of life and himself, and the fool man having lower
expectations. It's more than that. Yeah, but it is more than, it's one level more than that. You can have high expectations, but he judged himself, his worth of life, what other people thought about him. It wasn't just expectations. We could have high expectations, demand from ourselves to be more disciplined. But what his life was, is what people in the street are going to say. Other people on the street say he's a great doctor, a great lawyer, and a great thing. Ah, that's great. I once had a girl, a young lady told me why she became religious. I'm just going to change the story because I'm on tape. So this young lady grew up in Malibu, let's just say. And her father was extremely, extremely wealthy. Worked very, very hard. And she told me that she was miserable growing up because all her father and mother were busy is the social life. And if they were put into the picture in the social life magazine, whatever it's called, I'm not familiar or whatever they are, they're yours in the picture, not in the picture. So my father was a great dad. But they were so preoccupied what people were going to say about them, I just felt horrible. I just was trying to run away. As a daddy was a great dad. People who live their life, see, what Rav Nachman is saying, no one is extreme that way. No one is extreme happy this way. But the more you become a tam, the happier you are. It's very difficult. I mean, the Medrash says if a person would not care, he would cover his genitals and walk in the street. That's the Lushna Medrash. I mean, if you don't care what people think about you, you wear something that's 100 years old. You know, well, but there is something what you should care, you should look appropriate. But what most people, many people are, pushed into the level thinking my worth is what people say about me. How much money am I earning? And the more you live there, the more unhappy you are. Doesn't make a difference how much money you make. If your mind is not, Baruch Hashem, I worked and I made a shoe. And he tells his wife, look at my shoe. And she pokes him. Your shoe, half the price. She says, that's them and that's me. I don't care about anyone. It's me that the focus is on myself. I am, Baruch Hashem, this is what I did. Your person has to be Ezer Osher Smeich Bechelko. You have to be happy with yourself. I am what I am. We didn't choose 90% of how strong we are psyched up or how weak we are, how strong we are. It's just the way we were born. Hashem made us this way. And so your happiness comes by working hard and doing what you need to do. So Nosson says in the story about the Svidus Oimer, you should go around saying, I davened today. Well, my davening, you know, my davening was a triangle. But you davened today. You put on tefillin today. Baruch Hashem, I did it. So then the Yetzer Hara says, come on. Yeah, what, your davening is worth something. Bah, you were davening. You were all over the world. I went and I davened with Minyan, or I davened at home. I davened. I counted the oimer tonight. See, when you celebrate this, you become truly happy. It's nothing to do what, you know, I counted the oimer. The whole world has to know I counted the oimer. It's inner, deep peaceful, inner peacefulness. So no matter how much, you say, Baruch Hashem, I'm running a Jewish home. I keep kosher. See, but this, I want to tell you something very, very, very important. The Tam had no choice but to think this way. Otherwise, I said, he would have committed suicide. Because if he looks at life, if he would have kvetched, see, the rich person had really nothing to kvetch. So it didn't come out so perfect, the jewelry. So the guy said, you slapped me. So the, as a doctor, he thought that he's not such a good doctor. Big deal. He had the mullah, as they say. He had the money. He charged people money. He was very successful. So, but the time, if he would have stopped, imagine some stopped kvetching. You have a lot to kvetch. I can't even earn a normal, decent living. I work all day long, and all I have is bread and water. I think in America he says it's pathetic. Is that the word in English? All day long he's working. All he has is bread and water. My next door neighbor doesn't even work so many hours. He works 4 hours a day. And he has wine, beer, and his geschmack, and even has a horse. But what do I have? I work from morning to night, and I'm barely able to make shoes, and I have nothing to eat but bread and water. When am I going to eat a piece of fish? I mean, if he wanted a kvetch, he would have gone cuckoo. Then it says, I didn't mention the coat. He had one coat that he shared with his wife. This was a spring coat, raincoat, winter coat. You know, and this is what he shared with his wife. Probably had one shirt. So he would have gone, I mean, literally, his life was one misery. But the truth is, why did the Nachman says in the story, he looked at the bread and he said, look at the bread, how good the bread is. And the slice of bread has fish. What great fish. You know why? He wanted to teach us, you have to make yourself happy. So the Tam in the story was happy because he had no choice. But Rav Nachman is saying, we have no choice but to be happy in life. But we don't look at it that way. We look at it, we have a choice. We have money to pay a therapist to kvetch and to cry. I'm not belating you, but that's, we live in America, and we live in a very wealthy place where we could afford to, you know, this, I was insulted, and I remember as a childhood, my childhood trauma, we're busy, instead of saying, be happy what you have. This is, today, it was a day. And ask yourself, what did you do today? I davened, I made a bracha, ate kosher. Count like the Tam. He looked at the fish screen and says, wow, look at the shoe. He wasn't stupid. He was a Tam, but he knew it had three quarters. He knew it was a triangle. He wasn't, someone just, just missed the boat. But he celebrated what he had. This is what Rav Nachman says, Rav Nosson the Kita Aluf says over and over, that you should find the good points about yourself and celebrate it. See, if you tonight walk home and you say, let me look at the mitzvahs that I did today. I did daven today. Then tomorrow you're going to do a much better davening because you feel good about it. If you say to yourself, my davening, you know what my davening is worth? A nickel. You know what I mean? I know my davening is worth nothing. Then the next time it's going to be less than a penny. You're not even davening. But if you tell yourself, I did the best that I can. I gave tzedakah. I helped someone. I helped someone. Any of this, that a person, all this is incredible. That accumulates the nekudas toivas in a person. And he feels able to pull him out of this depression. See, the default of us is depression. You know that? If you let go of yourself, you become depressed. Many years ago, I noticed, and I didn't understand it, so people go on vacation, they came back not so happy. I didn't understand it. I'm talking about wealthy people that would go to Italy and they would go here. Yeah, they like to talk about it. If I can't tell anyone I went to Italy or I saw in Italy, it's not worth going to Italy. A big part of it is I could tell people, let me show you my, what's called the Instagram, whatever it's called, the pictogram, whatever. I was in Italy. And I have proof to it. But I noticed that when we let go of yourself, go on vacation, you let go of yourself, you become unhappy. Happiness, you gotta be Kimba say. Got to act like a Tom. You got to tell yourself that we have no choice but to be happy. Now, I'm sure many of you think, if the rabbi would know what I go through, he'll agree I'm an exception to the rule. I'm not walking on the press. Telling you, no one is worse off than this town. That he was born silly, can't make ends meet, he only has bread and water. You know, and I once said this, I once spoke to a bunch of women, and I described a man, a Tom and a Chochem. Here you're going to be wealthy, but a critical, self-critical, unhappy, kvetchy. See, I didn't go all the details. Rav Nachman says in the story over here that the Chochem, since he went all over the world, he had a tailored suit, and they made him a suit. So he said, this suit is terrible because it's not exactly straight. In Italy, such a suit, they would laugh about you. Here, no one cares about it. But, you know, in the Derfel, in the villages, no one cares about it. But in Italy, and when he made him a hat, in Spain, such a hat, this is a horrible hat what the guy made for me. Everything he was like, he went to a motel. Since he was a wealthy guy, went to his expensive motels, he comes to a motel in this village. You can imagine, the water was outside, the bathroom was out. I mean, this is a motel? Are you kidding me? Everything was enormous pain for him. So I asked the woman, what do you rather want, someone like the Tom? They all said that Tom is much healthier to live. Yes.
What you're basically saying is that the human nature, its default mode is to get depressed, to be depressed. Why is that?
The Zohar says, is the curse that Adam Rishon got after the sin. Be'itzuvoin toichlenu.
That was Adam
Rishon. After he ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Bnei Yisrael said to him, with atzves you would eat. With depression you would eat.
There's two separate psukim.
And there's another pasuk that says, so the Zohar says, we are cursed of being kvetchy people. The Yerushalmi says, and the Medrash has a very interesting thing. It came to the Shira to sing Oz Yushi by Kriyas Yamsev. The Medrash says we needed Moshe Rabbeinu to arouse us, to get us Oz Yushi, Moshe Rabbeinu have to get, come on, let's go, we got to thank Hashem, sing to Hashem. It came to the Chet Meraglin, it no one needed any encouragement. They started crying all by themselves, no encouragement, happiness. To thank, you need encouragement. You ever notice, anyone who's married over here, when you get annoyed at your wife, you want to criticize her right away. You don't want to wait. You want to be Makayim Zrizim Magdim in the Mitzvahs. You want to right away. No waiting. And you want to say thank you. Oh, the next time I go to Ralph's, I'll find it. Thank you, God. I love you, God. No, this time. Then we forget about it. But the criticism, right away.
How do you change that?
Every day you have to tell yourself, I want to say this, how do you change it? You know, one of my daughters showed me many years ago that Dr. Robert Twersky gets up in public and he tells everyone, cross your arms, try this out. Cross your arms. And then he tells everyone, now cross it the other way. First of all, yes, you see, you all have a problem. It's not the same. You have a problem, it's uncomfortable. Why is that uncomfortable? Because it's not used to it. Your muscles and your brain work the same. We are very quickly used to negative. That's part of our, he says, that you got to change the muscles. You got to start thinking positive, thanking. You know, I tell this to people, thank more and be positive. He says, my wife will take advantage of me. A guy once told me plenty. You know, I'm the least worried about that. Don't worry about that. You have to Train yourself to be more appreciative, to say thank you, and to be more happy. It's a continuously changing the muscles in your head. With my speech here, I only helped you from now on. Every day, tell yourself, I want to be. I want to tell you a Mirdiga story. A story that a lady told me. And I used to speak to the woman many years ago. A lady, I told the woman before, she said, Shoshana, try to change one thing this year. A lady told me an incredible story. She decided this year she's not going to catch. She says, I was a expert at catching and being a nudge. And she had teenage daughters at home and be a nudge of a nudge. She decided that she's not going to do it. So she hung up signs, I forgot what, all over the house just to keep a reminder. She told me she didn't realize how difficult it was not to criticize. She really used to tell him, once the door is down, the room is not clean, not say a word. And she would bite her lips and bleed. She told me, till Hanukkah, it took her, she used to little bite her lips and bleed. He says, Purim things got better. He says, you know what happened all of a sudden? My Shon Bayis became unbearable great, and my teenagers became great. She had a bunch of daughters in close. But it took her a year, literally, to change. And here she knew. And she told me the most profound thing she told me. She never realized how much she hated herself for being such a kvetch. That she never realized. So it takes time and effort. Answering his question, it takes time and effort that you should be happy. And it doesn't come by itself. Not by pills and not by drinking. You gotta tell yourself every morning, I want to be, and you celebrate your life. Don't be afraid walking home tonight and going home, great, I'm a Jewish person. I davened, I have tzitzis on myself. I am doing great.
So it seems like the curse is that your natural tendency will be depression, and yet we're empowered with the ability to overcome our own nature and therefore redeem ourselves.
Right. That's correct. That is the correct. And we have the power because a person could change if they want. You tell a person $1,000 every day you're happy all day long, I think most of us will make sure to be happy. It's not $1,000 for $2,000 for sure you have it done. So people walk around and say, Rabbi, I don't know how to do it. The proof that you do it, just offer him money, you'll see he'll be able to do it. You know, let me tell you another important thing. See, I'm sure all of you work hard. All of you are working people over here. And I'm sure when you wake up in a terrible mood, you could still focus on your work. And sometimes it's even better. You get into work, you push away the feelings, but you could focus on the work. If you're a lawyer, if you're whatever, you're a doctor, you could just... But when you have to make a relationship work, let's say you want to get close to your wife and children in a lousy mood, that's not going to work. See, we are in a relationship with Hashem all day long. We are so distant from Hashem, one of the reasons, because we're not happy. An unhappy person cannot be, when you're unhappy, you know you're not close to your spouse and children. Whoever you're close to, you're not close because right now unhappy people are so focused on themselves, no time to look at others. They're so busy with the self-hurt, and I'm hurt, and I'm depressed, and it's not fair. You know, a guy who's depressed has to have, you know, he has to address the depression or something. So how does the dress go on? He thinks in his mind that life is not fair and this is not good and this is not good and no one cares about me. My spouse looks at me, doesn't look at me. All is the depression thoughts that goes to the people. When you're happy, you could be there for the other person very easily. So happiness makes our relationship with Hashem much, much stronger. So Reb Nosson says in the Mem Tes, especially now that I explained from B'nai Yisrael, the 17 days from now to is Toiv is good, you have to force yourself to do tshuva and be happy. So you got to take time. Rav Nachman says, do tshuva and say, Hashem accepted my tshuva. Now I have to focus. Baruch Hashem, I'm doing a good thing. I challenge you all. Try this exercise till next week, where we meet again, hopefully. And try to tell yourself you're going to focus on the good things that you did every day. Don't worry, you're not going to become arrogant. Just say, Baruch Hashem, I pushed myself. I did daven. I did daven mencha. I did ate kosher. You know, it was tempting maybe not to eat everything 100% kosher. Whatever you do, just say, great! Because it is great. It's not like the town that says the piece of bread is a piece of meat. It is great that you are Jewish. There is great that you, whatever you keep in Yiddishkeit. Every time you eat kosher and you're tempted not to eat kosher and he says, no, I'm going to eat kosher, you just say your stocks went up right there. So that's called to malakid nenekudis toivis in a person. Rav Nosson talks about find the good parts of yourself.
In yourself and others.
Yourself and others. Usually when people are positive about themselves, they're positive about others. If you like yourself, you're going to like others. If you respect yourself, you can respect others. Always work that way. So, hopefully I'll see you next week. So I give you all a challenge. This entire week, take 10 minutes. That's all you need, just to focus. And I want to tell you something. You'll see that Yetzirah is not going to let you do it. I guarantee you. Yeah, he's going to try not to let you do it. That's when you know, when I always tell myself, when do I know it's something holy? When it doesn't go easy. If it goes very easy, it must be some Yetzirah there.